The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
I love doing the show here on our Tony Curry YouTube channel. Just a great conversation, great talk. We should probably have a show, Mission Minded Plus, which is something that we actually talk about that you don't hear us talk about, because we have some great conversation before as two men who like to break bread and talk a little bit. We have great conversations before we actually start the recording of this, and then of course we have great shows anyway. Mission Minded, keep your mind, your mission, your mind. This is a business show. And with business come relationships, with emotions come with love, come with all kinds of different things that come in business. And so anything goes on the show. And info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We'll take email questions as well. We just saw a great Super Bowl. We're recording the show here on the Monday after. And everyone, of course, was talking about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. Who isn't? I was pleasantly surprised they didn't show her as many times last night on the telecast as I thought they would have. Yeah. But then again, you know, he had 9 catches, but I think he had 1 touchdown pass or catch or did he? I don't know. Anyway, they usually show her whenever he was doing something miraculous. Right. They didn't show her a whole lot. And I don't know if that was because they were like, hey, listen, we've had enough of this. This is a super. You would think the Super Bowl, which brings a lot of more peripheral ears and eyes, people that don't right. normally watch the net, because it is a party, you would think they'd show her a lot more. That's what I was surprised about. Anyway, at the end of the game, there was a situation where they were hugging each other, and it was beautiful, and it certainly looks like this is not a conspiracy. I'm a loyalist. I think I was I'm a baby boomer, and I came from the days of being loyal. And so I look at that from every standpoint, not only in business, but I look at it in my relationships. I'm an honorable kind of guy. I'm all about propping up my mate and propping up my teammates and my people at work. And there was a really interesting article. It said what I got wrong about loyalty at work from Business Insider. And her name is Aki Ito, and she's actually written some really good articles. She wrote an article several months ago about loyalty, and we actually did a show about this several months ago. So we kind of cropped this a little bit, but talked about the bosses and the boomers and the Gen Xers and the people who have had loyalty in their jobs and their places of employment. And they're like, what's wrong with these kids today? These kids just have no loyalty. They all care about the money, and they'll work for one place for a week, and then they'll split, they'll quit, and they'll take 2 weeks severance, blah, 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 blah. And then, of course, you got the Gen Zers who are the younger generation. They're like, why should I be loyal? You know, they can hire me whenever they want. They can fire me whenever they want. They can lay me off whenever I want. It seems like, the economy is always constantly changing. And so I never know if I'm going to have a job or not. So that's why I probably should become part of a union. And I probably, should have some type of prenup in my tenure, which is something that is relatively new. Now, you can actually get paid $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 just to take a job with somebody. They have signing bonuses because they can't hold on to people because people can't be loyal anymore. So let's start right there, because you and I are that baby boomer generation. I remember growing up, if you had more than one job, you were it. You were like, you got more than one job. I mean, to have a job was really, really important. It was really special to have a job. If you had a job you really loved, it just didn't exist. It didn't. I mean, you've had a job, you had a job, you had a job. That's great. But if you had a job you really loved, what you did was really, really special. Then if you had two jobs, man, it was like, how did you do that? Because there just weren't that many available jobs. Now it seems like you can have as many jobs as you want. Let's start there. Just talk about over the last, say, 10 to 15 years, I think this has really changed a lot about how the workforce is looked upon in this country.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, you've touched on some really key points, key aspects of our society and how it's changed over the years. I remember friends of mine, one in particular, a buddy of mine who would get summer jobs, and they would through Alabama Power. And some people went on to school, but he was offered, you know, they at the end of every summer cycle, people who graduated from high school, they were like, okay, we're going to hire a couple of you. And he went in that with like, hey, I'm going to work my 20 years. I'm going to get a certain amount of retirement. And this is probably unique to Gen Zers and millennials, but way back in the day, lots of times when you get a company retirement, you wouldn't have to put any money into it. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, city retirement, government retirement, big corporation retirement. It would be, okay, you're going to get, well, like it is with my military. When I retired at 21 years, but if you retire at 20 years, you get 50% of your pay for the rest of your life without having to put any money into it. So imagine you're like, oh, that's such a great benefit. Well, then you're halfway through that. You've worked with this company for 10 years and you're saying, okay, I'm going to be loyal to this company for another 10 years. And all of a sudden they came out, which they did back in the 80s and 90s, came out and said, hey, we're changing, we're restructuring, which from a business standpoint, I get, because you know, you keep having retirees, and you're sending out this money. They're not bringing in any revenue. I get it, how it can be overwhelming for a business. So a business has to adapt. They don't look at it as a loyalty issue. They look at it as, well, we can go bankrupt and not be financially viable anymore. Well, then everybody's out at that point. But from an individual's perspective, it's like, no, this is what you promised me, mm-hmm. and this is what I signed up for. And I said, hey, I'm going to give you what I've got, and you're going to give me what you've got, and we're going to be married together for the next 20, 25, 30 years. And these are my expectations, and all of a sudden you're changing the rules in the middle of the game. So while I understand why, and they may not have had a choice, it still feels like, well, you're changing. This is not what you said it would be. And it leaves people hurt. It, you know, it's like, oh, well, you know, the fat cats at corporate or whatever. And they start and they like, here I'm a guy who's given all my life to making this company successful. And they're not loyal. So you see this in sports all the time. You know, there's pro football is still one of the pro leagues that doesn't have guaranteed contracts.
Yeah.
So you sign a contract, you have a guaranteed signing bonus. But they can actually cut you at any time and basically voids out, mm-hmm. you know, the rest of that contract if you're due to an injury or whatever. And so I've seen people go, look, so many athletes step up and they go, look, I just recognize this is a business. And so in a business, you have to look out for your own interest, just like they're going to look out for their own interest. The days of a company saying with some exceptions, and of course, mom and pop shops can be great exceptions, but just corporate wise, there's always skepticism when they're coming out with a policy because you almost never think, oh, they're changing this to the benefit of the employees. No, mm-hmm. if a policy's changing in terms of income distribution out from the company, you can bet it always is going to benefit the company. Now, that doesn't make the company the bad person. They're looking out for their interests. What makes them a bad person is when you're shocked that the employee says, well, wait a minute, you're looking out for your interests. Therefore, who's looking out for my interests? Well, nobody. So I have to look out for my interests. And it may come across as disloyal to you, but somebody's got to be looking out for me.
Are there any guarantees? You bring up the military. I've got a friend of mine who just retired from the Shelby County Police Department or Shelby County for the county. And he's 50. Was he 51? I got him when he's about 24 years old and he's young, great shape. And he's retired. I don't know what his pension is or what his retirement is, but he's considered retired. He could actually retire if he wants to. And now, of course, his wife's like, get the hell out of the house. I don't want you playing golf all day. I want you to go work.
Way too early to retire.
He's got 25 more years, you know, before he's in his 70s. Go do something. Go make some more money for our family. And he's doing that, but he's doing things he loves. And he's given his life in service in 25 years. But are there any promises? I've seen it so many times, you know, we'll go back to the HealthSouth days. Do you remember that whole situation? How fast that thing blew up and how much money was on the table and how many people lost everything they had. They were with that company since it started. Their 401ks, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars you put in, all of a sudden your entire retirement's gone. I mean, it's just incredibly. So, I mean, I can understand where loyalty's kind of is out the window.
Yeah, 20-something years ago, you had Enron.
Yeah.
You had WorldNet or World something that was a big telecom company. Boom, the bottom just drops out and all your retirement was in their stocks. So they started coming out with these 401ks, which basically was, hey, this is going to be your savings. We'll match it some, you know, we'll match certain dollars. And again, you know, it's just not as great as I didn't have to put a dime into my old retirement and I was going to get 50% of the rest of my life. Now it all depends on what I put in it, which again is fine, except when you compare it to the old standard. Mm-hmm. And that's where it starts to rub people wrong, which was I went from not having to put anything into it to get a certain amount to now I have to invest in 401k. And while you'll match it, it's still a lot more money I'm having to put in to secure my own retirement.
So what has changed? What has changed between the old standard and, hey, listen, because when I got in radio, they matched 100% of everything. And then towards the end, we got 1% of our stock, which was worth a penny at the time. It was worth nothing. And I understand that as a business. Yeah. I mean, because obviously, if you go under, I got no job. I get that. But what's changed, say, 2020?
Well, you can look at a lot of things that affect Social Security. So people are staying alive longer. And so with a company who goes, yeah, everybody who retires from 20 years, we're going to give you, let's say, 50%. Well, now that's great when you've only have one generation of retirees, but now you get two generations of retirees and then it's just not financially viable anymore. You just don't have the resources to be able to do that. And so you have to make a decision as a company. Are we going to maintain this standard until we go under, or are we, because to be able to meet that, lots of them would have to price themselves out of the current market of whatever it is they're producing. And so they become non-competitive. And this is a little bit of what Ford and GM go back and forth with. You know, they're trying to do this in people. And they're like, well, look, we're building cars, but we have competitors. We have overseas competitors, you know, and we're vying for all this. And it all comes down to, well, maybe we can make a car, not sell a car, obviously, but make a car for $15,000. But with the benefits per person and the demand you want, maybe that's cutting $2,000 into every car that's produced to pay the workforce what we have. And so then, you know, in their grand formula, you know, it's not enough. That's what they're vying for, because every penny matters when you're on the scale of a GM or so I don't fault the people fighting in the unions for I'm not personally pro-union, but I do see circumstances just like this to where you're like, hey, nobody's looking out for us. This company is not loyal to us. So why should we then return our loyalty to the company? It just doesn't make sense. I do want to go back to something where you talked about how there's so many different jobs and people looking today. I bet I've seen this a million times. I know of a guy here that was a well-to-do businessman. Retired, has plenty of money to retire, but it gets a little bored. So he wants to go be an Uber driver, you know, just to kill some time and make a little money. Now, some people are Uber drivers in retirement, but I've said this probably a million times, but one great thing I've always loved about our country is you don't have to wait for somebody to give you a job. If you have any ability and you want to earn money and you're willing to work, you can almost make money doing anything. I was still in the Army. I did half my time enlisted, half my time was commissioned, but I was trying to go to college at night and on weekends and just needed money for books. Mm-hmm. And I had two kids, but I got up and loaded up my lawnmower on the back of the car, on the back of the truck. And I would drive neighborhoods and cut grass all day on Saturdays to earn money. Now, they went towards books, but if I was trying to keep the lights on, you know, at the time, that's all I had. I was 25 or whatever, but I was out there humping it. If people want to get out there and work and you have a gift, it's just amazing the opportunities that are out there, and even stuff like work from home opportunities where you can do customer service. Technology today has made it so easy to go out and do things to make additional money. And so that gives the person who's like, well, this company isn't real loyal, and I'm taking a lot of crap from this manager, and I come home stressed every day. Well, what if I worked my time as I took two part-time jobs equal this one time? May not be making quite as much, but you know what? I'm a lot happier. I'm on my own schedule. I'm on this. And so a guy just ups and quits. And the company's like, wait a minute, what are you doing, man? We've been good to you. It just rings hollow today where it didn't, 25, 30 years ago as much.
Yeah, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We'll take your emails on this topic or any other topic. We also have a show called Bite by Bite, which is a fantastic show. It airs right after this on the TKR app. And of course, wherever you get your favorite podcast, we're available on every major industry right here on our YouTube channel here on Tony Curry Radio, which is doing really, really well. Thank you. He's Michael Coleman, the CEO of course, Heart of Alabama Food Bank. So would you say, and obviously we're talking of tectonic plates, we're talking major big things moving here at very slow paces, and then eventually 5, 6, 7, 10 years into it, and you're like, wow, I can't believe we're actually in this particular situation. Would you say, and it's interesting to look at other economies, right? Because right. I feel like we've gotten lazy here. I feel like we've been lazy here for a long time.
Sure.
But if you look at other economies, this whole idea, and you talked about this, and you can expound about going into a 4-day work week. I think COVID really made us open our eyes. Listen, if going to 3 or 4 days, outside the office is going to make us more profitable, then so be it. And you feel like you get more of a family life. Now that works for some, and for some, it does not. But would you say we're better off now than we were before? You just said something really interesting about if you want to work, and I've got a friend of mine who's disabled, he can drive, he's my age, and he just can't make ends meet, and he's getting a disability. He gets a check for $650 a month. And I'm like, dude, someone would hire you. Go drive to a flower shop, go anywhere where they'll pay you under the table. He doesn't want to get paid. And I said, I get that. Pick up a newspaper, get online, do something. I'm not talking about getting on LinkedIn. They're not going to hire you, but there are a lot of places out there that'll be more than willing to, and certainly the fast food restaurant industry will hire anybody and anything. And they're always looking for workers. I mean, you can get on board, and it's just so amazing to me to see these pictures of the big bust in the 20s where all these people were waiting to get jobs. Can you imagine us ever going through a situation like that again, where you had guys standing in suits for 20 hours a day because they couldn't find work? Would we ever go through that again?
Well, I'm certainly somebody who never says never, because if we crash again, like the Great Depression, where you see, 40% unemployment, just like you said, you see guys, that was the walking around attire back then.
Sure.
People, this was a situation where you had good, strong, healthy men just saying, I'll do anything to earn money, just desperate for work. And I think in part because things, even though the economy is cyclic and we have the ups and downs, like we had 2008, I get it. We had COVID, had some challenges. But the reality is, with apps that there are, there's just so many different ways, to make money. And even again, going back to that, if I can utilize a computer, I can do troubleshooting where I'm hooked into a system with earphones and all I do is just answer calls. Mm-hmm. They even have virtual offices now where people are like, I have 4 different businesses I'm the secretary for, and they can be, it's just amazing how much technology has freed up and freedoms that it's given us. And those can be barriers to certain people. But outside of that, the reality is the opportunities are there. I do think you're going to see some interesting it's interesting that with AI, it's projected it's going to affect, the people like at Google who are used to being the magicians. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones who code and create all this. And now you've got AI who can build it without a code writer They're talking about a lot of those people, you know, being out of work. But it's interesting, just this whole dynamic we're talking about loyalty, because we're seeing something. We're both big college football fans. Of course, if you're in Alabama, you have to be, you have to choose sides. But with what you're seeing today with transfer portals coming in and out, I mean, you're just like, where does it end? We just replaced Nick Saban. And so you had people just making huge career choices, like leaving a university, but they're getting paid to come to other schools. I mean, they can do that. And so I heard just to get a starting quarterback in the transfer portal, you had to offer them $1 million or $2 million.
Yeah.
I don't begrudge them, but somebody who starts off in life, who's this is these are 19-year-olds, and somebody who starts off as a 19-year-old making 12 to 15 bucks an hour, they consider that a great job. Maybe $35,000 to $40,000 a year in their very first job. You know, how long it would take them to make that kind of money. We're just kind of in this upside down world. But you don't see any loyalty anymore. It's like, where's the money? Where's the opportunity? Coach yelled at me. I don't like my coach anymore. So now I'm going to go pout. And if I didn't get the starting job, then I'm going to go somewhere I can start. And look, if I was 19 and I had that kind of talent and that kind of ability, you know, maybe I would be in the exact same. But if you just go back to the idea of loyalty, it's continuing to erode in our society, even into the sporting world that we see.
I totally agree with you. I've had multiple conversations with Mark Ingram, who's the UAB athletic director. We do a show here on TKR Car, the UAB director's chair. And he's like, you know, imagine yourself, you know, ever since you were 4, 5, 6, 7 years of age, being told you're the best, you're the best, the best, the best. I mean, having that stuff filled into your brain, your games are being shown on ESPN, for gosh sakes, on Friday nights. I mean, you are the best of the best. And no matter where you go, you are the best person on that team. And then all of a sudden, you're getting brought in to go to Alabama, Auburn, wherever it is. And you get into these schools, despite the fact you've made these visits, and they're promising you the same thing. You're going to be, you know, you used to never start as a freshman. You were always redshirted. For you kids out there that don't know, and you maybe you're in your teens right now.
Freshmen couldn't play.
You weren't allowed to play when you're a freshman. You were going to be redshirt. And now you got players coming in on their freshman year making, you never had a Heisman Trophy winner that was a freshman. It was never going to happen. And of course, now it just seems like it's almost a given that it's going to happen every other year. And so you get in there and all of a sudden there's 6 guys that are better than you. You know, for 12, 13, 14 years, you've been told you're the best, the best, the best, and you're going to get the ball every time, and people are going to love you, and you're going to walk in that, and people are just going to go crazy. Yeah. And now there's 6 other guys that are vying for your job. And all of a sudden, you're like, wait a minute, I was told that I was going to start. Well, you know what? We had to bring a bit different defensive coordinator in, and his system has got 3-4, not a 4-3. So it's really going to put you in a situation where your cornerback abilities, blah, blah, blah. And so things change. And so I get that. And so what you see is you see a lot of kids at the highest level, at the biggest level, which I really think is interesting because Michigan is one of those schools that didn't have one player go to the NIL this past year. Not one player. Now they won a national title. So maybe a lot of players like, you know what, I'll stick it out and stay here because I want that ring. But you do see a lot of kids at big schools end up going to smaller schools because they want to be a big fish in a small pond. And I kind of get that. I don't know if that speaks.
I do. I mean, and that's what I'm saying. I can present to the audience the best that I can on both sides of any issue and say, you know, but I can see me being on, I mean, I can see businesses, like for instance, I'm CEO of this business. I try to provide the best work culture and the best pay that I absolutely can for the jobs that I'm asking people to do. Now, what I've always said is I never want somebody to pull away a valued employee because that employee feels like we're not paying them what they're worth, or that employee feels not validated or doesn't feel appreciated for the job that they do. Those are all the small things I can do to help build loyalty and to help show my appreciation. And that, you know, that it's overused that, hey, we are a family here. So I don't use that kind of language just because it's just overdone. and it can come across as fake and hollow, but just letting them know individually as I run across them and have a moment just to speak life into them is just to say, man, I really am glad you are here. There's so many times you're making a difference with what. So in doing all that, that's very real. It's genuine. I'm trying to portray that. But if that employee comes back to me and says, hey, I've got a better opportunity, mm-hmm. an opportunity I just can't get here. Why should I? What a selfish jerk if I make that employee feel guilty. Because if I were in that same position and I could, all of a sudden somebody comes along and says, hey, Michael, you have the talent to be making this, and I'm willing to pay you that. The food may not be able to pay you that for whatever reason, but I'm willing to. If I genuinely care about my employees, this person's, they're moving forward in life. There is something good that's happening to them. Mm-hmm. And so I can appreciate, or at least I try to appreciate, you know what? We only had that person here a year. We only had that person here 2 or 3 years. But they were worth every dime we paid for. They were a good employee. And I'm glad we were part of their career, you know, and that they're leaving here on a good note. Does it suck to have to replace good employees? Of course it does. But that's why I'm saying where you see issues like this is where it comes down to where relationship gets set aside and it's always business first, but bottom line first. And when you run a business bottom line, you should not, these days particularly, you should not expect anybody to come to the table saying, hey, I'm ready to enter into a lifelong relationship. It's interesting because in Montgomery, we have Hyundai here. And not only do we have Hyundai Automotive, we have Hyundai Power. So for those who don't know, Hyundai Transformer Systems, there was 3 Hyundai companies that the original Hyundai owner, I think, gave out to his 3 kids. And one, I think, was automobiles, one's power regeneration, and I think one ships in shipping. And so we have a power. We have 2 of those here in Montgomery. And the Korean culture has had a little bit of challenge coming in here simply because it's so different. Because in Korea, you do that. You go to work for a company and expect you're to be loyal to that company. And you're with that company. You build a career. And it's just like it was kind of, you know, 50 years ago in our world. Mm-hmm. If you could get on with a company, you stayed with them and you gave it your all until retirement. Still very much that. And so now they come over here and they see people wanting to negotiate and people saying, wait a minute, I haven't had a raise in this. You know, even if they don't care if the company's hurting, bottom line is, hey, what about me? And it's just, it goes against their culture. And so they struggle, which is understandable. But again, I can see both sides of that. The loyalty that used to be here and the loyalty that some people still wish were here, I think is, if it's any left, it's on a very small person-to-person basis.
It is.
I don't think it's part of our culture anymore.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think it's part of what we do anymore. And I think, you know, I was with an industry with the same company for 32 years. I just don't think that you're going to see that anymore. And, yeah. and quite frankly, I had the same thing that you were talking about. I was thinking, okay, 10, 15 more years, I'm going to ride off in the sunset and I'm going to retire. And, you know, God had something different in store for me and totally flipped my world upside down. And I started all over again in my 50s. But, you know, you have to be ready for those types of things. And you know, when you talk about a business that is, and I don't want to call it a stepping stone business because I don't believe any business is a stepping stone. I think that some people are born to actually work at as a fry chef at McDonald's and then work their way up the chain and actually be a manager there because we need sure. those people and they can make sure. a living doing that. Sure. One of my best friends has been a manager at a Kentucky Fried Chicken for 20 years and is as happy as all get out. And so there are positions for that, but I mean, maybe loyalty is not the right word, but when you're talking about a situation, I've always loved the way you've dealt with employees because to an extent, a lot of times you won't have a boss that is always looking out for you. Like, listen, if you can better yourself, you just got married and you're fixing to have children and you need to make more money and I can't provide that here, but if I can help you get out this door and go build your career somewhere else. There's a lot of people that won't do that because it's on their clock, right? And if you're losing your best salesperson, and you're trying to help that person out the door. I certainly understand that. So what is that when you know you only have employees for a period of time, or when you see, I could see where you have an employee and you're like, I am so blessed to have this person who busts his ass for me every single day. And it makes my life so much easier to have him here, but I can't hold on to him any longer. And I've got to tell him, dude, you're missing out. You need to get out of here. There's so much greener grass on the other side for you because of what you're willing to put in to your work schedule and your passionate way of thinking in the workplace. I guess it just goes, what do you call it? You don't call that loyalty, do you? Or do you call that loyalty while you have it?
Well, I think, you know, what I want people, I try to convey to the workers is that, hey, I do care about you individually. Of course, I recognize that the more you're valued, more you're appreciated, the more productive you're going to be. So there, but I'm not doing it just for that. That is a side benefit of it. But you know, in the nonprofit space, I genuinely try to care about people. Now, I will tell you, I every once in a while, we get an employee who's so sorry dead fleas won't fall off of him, and I just can't wait to get him out the door. But I'm talking about the people who genuinely come and give it their all. And even if it's a step stone, even somebody in a more senior position, I try to be 100. I try to be 100% transparent and honest. So they'll come up and go, hey, what's my opportunities to move up? And I'm like, well, let's look at it. You know, here's where we are. Here's our leadership structure. You're qualified for this, this, and this. However, unless somebody leaves one of those positions, you know, so I try to give them a realistic picture. I try to tell them, well, for this position, you might need a bachelor's degree or whatever, and you're not there. But there's absolutely no hard feelings if somebody comes to me and says, because as an employer, if somebody comes to me and says, hey, I can make $5 more an hour. Mm-hmm. Okay? And I'm like, okay, I get that. Now I have the option, if I'm desperate to hold on to them, is come back and say, well, I can give you three. Would you stay if I can give you three, four, whatever? But I tend to not do that. I tend to, like, hey, I'm not going to try to emotionally manipulate you to try to stay. Like, man, I've put 3 years into you, you know, and try to tug on your heartstrings. Because, again, if you care about somebody, why would you emotionally manipulate them? That's a very selfish response. Now, I can say, you are so valuable to us. I just want to know, is this solely about dollars? Mm-hmm. Or is there another thing going on that's making you say, hey, maybe it's time to move? Or are you just looking for a change? I just want you to be transparent, because if it's about other issues, I might be able to address, or certainly would be willing to address those to help you stay. And maybe even if it's another, I could look at what possibly, but I'll never let somebody come steal an employee for a dollar an hour, because I want them to go, well, you know what? I like the culture here. I'm valued here. I'm appreciated here. I'm not going to go over there for a dollar more an hour and be treated like a field hand.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's what I'm trying to do. I mean, I can compete if somebody's going to pay somebody $5 or $6 more an hour. But I don't want anybody stealing my employees for just a buck or two.
He's the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. I'm Tony Curry. Michael Coleman and Tony Curry, of course, every single week here, Mission Minded. Show runs at least 5 days a week. And we'll link that story from Business Insider to our podcast here so you can actually read the article and give us your thoughts. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Not one, but two great shows. Bite by Bites coming up here next. If you're listening on Tony Curry Radio and, of course, wherever you get your favorite podcast, check us out. And again, tell people how they can get in touch with you down at Heart of Alabama Food Bank. I know you're doing wonderful work down there, my friend.
Yeah, I always encourage people, look, food banking is such a critical thing. We're the safety net of society for those who are hungry and food insecure. Go out and support your local food bank. But if that's not something you do and you want to support us, we would love to have you go to, you can just Google Heart of Alabama, but you can go hafb.org. and support us. If you're local, we'd love to have you volunteer. But if not, come on and financially support us. It'd be such a blessing. You can bet your money will be put to good use.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.